welcome to Category 5 Technology TV Coffee Break. I'm BP9, hello, and on my top left is Doug. Doug, give us a wave, sir. Hello. And then Peter, give us a wave. Good job. And that's Peter. So that's it. We're missing Solbu. I don't know. He usually shows up, but he's not here yet. So maybe he'll show up. We'll see what happens. So let's see what all's going on. Something for you, Peter. We talked about Docker versus virtual machines a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. God, I do, yeah.
So I ended up using Docker after all that. And it's working out really, really well.
Oh,
I'm
good,
really pleased. It's hardly using any CPU at all, which is fantastic. The limitation with Docker, I run Linux here at the house all over. The limitation is that any Docker machines that I start have to be Linux machines because they use the same kernel as the host machine. They also cannot write to their own file system. That's one of the things that make it so protective. But what you can do is you can set up shared folders or directories that you can effectively mount like you would in NFS, and you can mount them to the host machine, and you're good to go at that point. If you were to run Docker on a Windows machine, you could only create Windows Docker machines. Would not be able to run Linux on a Windows Docker, and you would not be able to run Windows on a Linux Docker machine, you know, on Docker that's running on Linux. So
not even in Vine? In Wine?
Wine emulates Windows as much as possible, but it doesn't make a complete virtual machine.
It just
emulates those Windows calls and then translates them to Linux equivalents effectively.
It's also Windows 7 as well, calls, because it's not Windows 10 calls, the Windows 7 calls, and it doesn't do it 100% all the time.
Yeah, right, exactly. For me, if I were to write a program that needed to act as a GUI on Linux and on Windows, I would use a toolkit like GTK. In my case, I've had good success with GTK2. And as long as you stick with the library calls in GTK and don't make any native calls directly to X Windows or to the Windows system, it should work. The key is you have to compile the program with the version of GTK for that environment. So for Linux, you have to link your program against GTK for Linux to make it run as a Linux native binary. And for Windows, you have to compile it under Windows against the GTK for Windows library.
Can you do down libraries in the GTK?
Can you say that again, Peter?
Because can you do sound type things in GTK? So on GTK
sound. Probably the only. I'm not sure. I've not explored sound on GTK. I'm sure it's possible. I'm pretty sure what you can do is say to GTK, go play this. But I know we've mentioned this before, Peter, in previous coffee breaks, and I think that you have to. I think it depends on whether you have the appropriate programs on the box you're running on to actually play the audio. You might could make it beep. That's probably all you can make it do.
That's not very good, but that wouldn't do a bit more than that, but anyway.
Well, yeah, I know. But my answer's the same now as it was then, in that I'm not sure what all you
There's
can
Solbu.
Do. Yeah, I see him. I'm not sure what all you can do. Solbu, welcome.
Hey, Solbu.
So, Peter, I'm not sure what more you can do apart from just beeps on on any machine, which is so yeah, that's it for Docker. I know I've already talked about code coverage with LCOV. Have I talked about that before? I know we talked about test harnesses and stuff like that, so I may have already. Did I ever talk about WordStar? Do you recall?
Yeah, I did. I think you did.
Did I mention WordTazar? There is actually a native Linux program that is a WordStar clone that runs under Linux that does all the things that WordStar, well, a lot of the things that WordStar does. And it's called WordTazar, WordTazar. Reality's bleeding through there, Solbu. It's not working so well for you. Uh-oh. That's scary because now your eyes are even showing through the... yeah, exactly.
Part of your head is disappearing into your background.
Yeah, exactly. Your hair is all gone transparent on us. So.
Yeah, you're looking rather... The engineering team about this, the holodeck is not doing today.
Wow.
That's problems on the holodeck.
From Lapland, are you Zobo?
From Lapland?
Yeah, because up north. How far from Lapland are you, Zobo?
About an hour or two the flight north.
Yeah, how many miles? How many kilometers?
800, maybe.
I had it's a long way. Yeah, it's a long way back. It's about I thought
that would take more like 8 hours in my airplane, Solbu.
Yeah,
I thought you meant by car.
800 miles, you said, right?
No, kilometers.
Oh, 800. Oh, that's about 500 miles. That's going to be about 5 hours. Yeah. I cruise at about 100 miles an hour, assuming no wind.
Yeah, good luck with that.
What, no wind?
Yeah.
Why is that?
This weekend there is a lot of wind, so.
Uh-oh. Well, so I'd have to adjust appropriately for that. So.
Yeah.
All right, Doug, your turn, sir. What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing much. Just working as usual.
Working as usual? Nice.
Well, one thing I did try to do. Have you ever heard of Ventoy?
Ventoy.
V-E-N-T-O-Y.
I can't say that.
It's a program that's supposed to allow you to put multiple ISOs on a thumb drive.
I can do that.
So that you could boot from the one that you want. But what it allows you to do is that you're supposed to be able to just copy them to the thumb drive rather than burning them to an individual partitioned on your thumb drive.
So,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but an ISO is just a file, although it's an image of a CD. It's a CD image.
Right.
So once you've burned it to an ISO, it can be just a file. But if you just copy it to your thumb drive, it's just a file to the thumb drive. It doesn't care. You can't do much with
Ventoy,
it.
Ventoy allows you to choose the one that you want to run. And I think that I haven't gotten it to work yet, but I think it starts it up almost like an executable.
Interesting. I know that in Linux anyway, I don't know if you can do this with Windows. You can actually mount that ISO image as a drive, and it will you can then browse it and look at it. Of course it's read only because it's it's an image, but you can look at it and see what's inside it. I don't believe there's any way to manage it after
ISO is like a zip file I discovered a type of zip file that will read it, and you can untake the bits again. And I can't think of the name of it at the moment. I'm trying to think of the name. It's a well-known one as well. It's not Zip, mm-hmm. but it's a well-known one. Okay. And yeah. So you can actually take the thing to bits. I did that on the disc once. You have to look at something to try.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's certainly possible. Now, whether you can mount it and execute it the way Doug's explaining is another thing. Well, I mean, I've only been able to execute it when I can mount it and then somehow reboot it or put it on an SD card or something. But one at a time.
I could put multiple ISOs on a thumb drive, but you can't get each one to run individually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't choose which one you want to run unless you partition that thumb drive as separate drives themselves.
Right. Now, is Ventoy software or hardware?
Software.
Okay. So it acts like a bootloader or so on the SD card?
It might kind of work like a grub that will start each ISO as you want.
Got it.
You could run it from VirtualBox or run ISOs as well, I think, if I remember right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. To start off the VirtualBox, have to initialize it with an ISO to start to create just like you would install on a brand new machine, right? So
I don't know how I think, but I know that Grub, you can set up Grub to where you can have configure a few ISOs, and they will you can configure them as a menu as what to boot into.
But whether you can boot right directly into an ISO with Grub, I don't know. So
that's what I told
you. Yeah, that's interesting.
but I don't know how you do it.
Right. Okay. Peter, what have you been up to? While you talk, let me go get the stuff that I need to show off what I was talking about. I'll be right back.
Oh, good way. I'll tell you when I come back. It's gone again. Well, I haven't said anything yet. I got it all fixed, by the way. Some odd relation of mine, distant relation came. It was a farmer decided to mend my winch on me because my winch decided to break. And the problem, he's coming back, I can hear him. And the problem was that the winch clutch decided to back up. We took it to bits and cleaned it all up, and the thing started to work again. So I got everything sort of working again, I think. But we haven't got it quite up yet. But I think on Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll think about doing it again because we'll have to wait for the two boys to come again. But do you know how much they wanted to pay for the I'd probably put it in on Discord, but the two clutch things are made of tungsten carbide, about the size of an old English penny, about an inch across, and £13. And do you know what they wanted for postage?
Something like £45, wasn't it?
Yeah, something of a ridiculous amount of money. And I finally swayed them to put in a jiffy bag. And send it to me cheaply. I was a cat. You got a cat as well.
Well, she jumped up to say hello, so.
And did you look at that in Danny? Have you thinking about it too, or not bothered?
Oh, As I said, I already have a dipole to hang
that
up
would,
on.
Would you be interested in that area, when I said to you last week?
I saw it, but I don't think I'll put it up there. I mean, I'll stick with the dipole that I have.
It worked better than a dipole container.
Okay.
It worked.
Okay.
It's got gain on the upper bands a lot. But you only get 3
dB. You can't have any. You can't have my coffee.
Just what you need, a caffeinated cat.
Yeah. She zooms enough already as she is. She doesn't need to, zoom anymore. So, Peter, we've joked about this before, and I'm not sure that you actually believed that I had one of these. So you already know about this, right? We've already talked about this many, many times. Yeah, we don't have to keep talking about that. But and I already mentioned it has a serial port on the, you see, RS-232?
Yeah.
The next time we talk about this, you better have a Doom running on it.
Yeah, no, not going to happen. Just so that you can, so I can prove it actually does have. Peter, I know Peter's going to laugh about this because he just loves the naughty words. So, you know, stop it, Peter. Enough. No, don't do it, Peter. Don't do it. But what it is it takes serial in. So it just it just plugs on DB9 on the other side, right? And it just uses SD cards. It just pops an SD. You just pop an SD card in there. And it you just write files to it like you would a disk drive from the Model 100.
Quite good, yeah.
Works on CPM as well. Works like a charm. So
is the size of the SD card you can use dependent on the size of the drive that operating system you're using is able to handle?
I don't know that there's an operating system as such even on that particular machine. And as far as the CPM OS is concerned, the hardware device inside this Model 100 allows you to have a 3.5 megabyte floppy disk, which is magnificent. It's wonderful. But I can't fit 3.5 meg on this 256K. Well, yeah, I can. Of course I can. Hello. I thought it was 256K. It's 256 meg. But I can only, to my knowledge, I can only store individual files on this SD card.
Yeah.
I think that the unit's called REC CPM. I think it has a facility for backing up the entire image, the entire 3.5 as a disk image, similar to the ISOs we were talking about earlier. It takes hours apparently to do that through the serial port. So
but I did to tell you MFJ does that area as well, by the way, in the States.
Oh yeah, MFJ, yeah. I know them well.
They do it to get the big one if you get the B800. It is worth it, I warn you.
Mine's on the ground at the moment, so it wouldn't be hard to hard to string up a brand new one. So
well, that's what I'm trying to say is that you got multiband and you got gain, and the thing has got 3 dBs anyway over the dipo anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
So it works well.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. I have to get a ladder to make mine a bit higher soon. So.
Jeez, man, you're gonna scare us to death. You're gonna fall off the ladder and you're gonna break your arm or break your leg or something.
I've been trying to borrow a ladder because not me, but what I got is a couple winch, pulleys up on one's on a tree and one's on a post on the side of the house, and I just need each one to untangle one side at the moment. Right. So it just needs to go up and untangle something, and then I can pull it straight. It really does work well. I heard Australia the other day, by the way, on it.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that.
I did it today as well.
Oh, good. Nice.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
So Solbu, I see you're being a ghost on Voyager right now. You're doing a fine job there. Very good. Yep, we can see right through you, literally.
There's nothing inside.
Nope. So, what's been going on with you, sir?
I've been hunting this week. I discovered mice.
Oh.
I discovered last week that in my kitchen there is behind the drawers and shelves on the floor behind there is a space behind it is a building, but one mouse was hiding behind there.
get
you know, if there's one, you know, if there's one, there's going to be more.
So. Yeah, I know for a fact there is, and I knew for a fact that there is only one. But when there is only one, you have to do, you have to find them quickly, or soon there is not going to be the only one.
Yeah. They breed like mice, don't they?
Yeah,
yeah. Breed like mice. So the local store had a few mouse traps, a box of two, with a modern plastic one with bait already in inside. You just remove a plastic thing, and then you activate it by pressing on the back. And then I put in, put it in one of the bottom drawers that I knew the mouse for some reason it liked my frying pan.
So I
put it in that drawer. I emptied everything out, and 10 minutes after I put it in the drawer, bang!
Oh wow! Okay,
and it was quiet ever since.
Oh. So you think you just got the one? Did you put another mouse trap down just in case?
Yeah, I have another one, but there is no more activity.
It hasn't been. Oh, good. Well done.
That's what, Sobel. We had mice as well last week, and the funny thing was that I was sitting in here the other day doing some work with a file, filing some bits of thing, and there's a box, and I could hear a rattle. So I look at the box, suddenly the dad stuck it up. Looked at me, you know, like 40 towers when the biscuit's in at the very end, the other one. And the thing looked at me, Darth got the hammer and threw the hammer at it. We put poison down, and we found him dead in the airing cupboard, all bloated and horrible.
Yep.
So, you know, that's the way, because my wife is scared.
And on that note, we'll finish up. All bloated and horrible.
Yeah.
No, we won't. What else? So Abu, what else you been up to? Not much.
Not much, really.
Yeah, it's been a quiet week.
And speaking of,
you saw a video. Please tell me you saw a video.
This story is not about the video.
Oh no!
I was visiting some friends of mine downtown,
I meant to ask you: is it snowing over there yet?
Yeah, and it's already melted away.
which is probably why you've got rodents coming into your house where it's nice and warm, right?
Yeah,
is that something
the snow, it was about to come, so when the snow has actually arrived, they are not long, they are no longer sitting inside, because underneath the snow
it's warm.
Yeah.
Ish.
But
yeah.
He
your friend?
Her father, they had been visiting them over the weekend, last weekend. He had, in 1 week, he catched 135 mice.
He needs a mousing cat, is what he needs.
Wow.
And in one day he catched 32 or 35 mice in one single day, and he lined them all up and in a few.
He didn't.
And he took pictures of them.
Oh, that's wrong.
The wrong.
But in that part, in that he
that's
he live in the southern part of Norway, and they are having mouse year this year. So
yeah.
A lot of them.
The word thing.
Can you imagine setting up all those mouse traps as dominoes and seeing one snap off and?
I think it did that at one point. It did actually do that.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
the worst thing is rats. Rats are worse. We got them here as well. We got rats from the river. Yeah. Big thing there.
Nasty. All right. I want to check the last comments, because we're pretty much ready to finish up. So.
I have one video story.
I knew there'd be one somewhere. There's not a single coffee break goes by that there isn't a video story.
Yeah, we mentioned the
operators. I have to be fairly quick, though, Sobu.
Yeah, you mentioned that copying and backing up the huge 1-point-something megabytes system. Yeah, the time to do that. I saw a video a YouTuber who is making videos of old operating system and old computers. He mentioned that a friend of his back in the day installed Windows 95 from floppy disks.
Mm-hmm.
And it took mm-hmm. 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, yep, that's no surprise. I have a copy of OS 2 Warp lying around somewhere that's all floppies, no CDs. And so I've been trying to install it on a virtual machine or something, anything at all, but I can't get the first disk to read through. So the install fails because the first disk won't read through. So
you still have floppy drives?
Yeah, I still have machines that have floppies.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I know. It sounds odd, but yes, I do. I've even got a tray system where I can mount hard drive into the tray and then slide it into the case of the machine. If I want to run OS 2, I actually label the drive OS 2 or the tray OS 2. I slide the OS 2 tray in there, turn on the machine. Theoretically, if I could ever get it to start up, it would start up.
That's what I do as well. I do the same thing.
Yep. Works like a charm. Works really well. It looks, if you look at the back of the tray, where it connects into the frame of the receptacle that it fits in, the old Centronics deconnectors is what it uses to make a connection to the actual machine, between the drive and the machine. It seems to work really well. So yeah, there you have it.
My dart swappable, so I have to keep turning the machine off if I have to do that, you know.
Oh, sure, yeah. You can't pull the drive while the machine's running. It would be the same as the drive failing. So
yeah.
A friend of mine, he had and not sure if it's everywhere, but in Scandinavia at least, power supply units on the back of our computers. It has a switch where you can switch from 240 and 110 volts.
Oh, I see what's coming. You had it switched the wrong way, right?
No. This is 25 years ago.
Yeah, I've been there. I've done it.
He flipped the switch while the machine was running.
Oh, no, I have not done that. Oh, no. I've had it switched the wrong way, and it promptly blew up. But
had a spare power supply, but the main board didn't work after that.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I wonder why. I'm not surprised. I have a radio board for a garage door opener that I have to replace some components on because lightning struck here a long time ago now. I've just been too lazy to fix it, but lightning struck, and I can see the big 1 watt resistor that's in there. That just this carbon, carbon traces all around it where it blew up from the lightning strike. So I don't know if it's just everything else seems to work because I can manually close the contacts and the garage door opener will work. But the actual radio card, I think, is what's failed. So,
my best friend have a neighbor. When he first moved he and his wife moved into the house 19 years ago, I think it is now. He befriended the neighbor across the road, and he had this neighbor. He had three machines running XP. And they had set up automatic backup of their machines to the two other computers. It ran automatically.
Yeah, so then, one power surge takes all three out, right?
Yeah, it did just that.
Yep. Yep.
Lightning struck, and they lost everything on the, on the computers. And they, and that
no
was the
surprise there.
They had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I tell you a story.
Okay, a very quick one, Peter, because I've got to go.
Somebody, a friend of mine, asked me to repair his rig, and it's one of the first Japanese transistor things that came in the 70s, and he wants to connect up to his amplifier, because we're building an amplifier, so he took, we're taking the 1500 volts out of this thing, and to connect you up to his amplifier, but the Japanese doesn't understand that plugs are for plugging in and sockets are for where the HT goes on. They did it the other way around. So the plug on the rig was on and I touched it. And I said some very bad words.
I bet you did.
His girlfriend and himself was giving me brandy to get me recovered. So I shot across the room very quickly. Geez.
All right, folks. We have to finish up. It's been 30 minutes. So Robbie's already going to give me a hard time because we've gone 30 minutes. So I'm going to finish it up. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much. As always, it goes way too fast.
Yeah.
So thank you. Solbu, good to see you, even if you were late again.
I have to rig the backdrop.
No, we can watch your kitchen. We don't care. All right. Have a good day, everybody. All right. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.